What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. I'm Daniel Yafusi. Thanks so much for tuning in. Quick reminder before we start, make sure to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share, comment, all that good stuff, as well as subscribe to the Miami Herald. All right, I'm running solo today. No David Neal on this week's episode, but we got a lot to talk about. The Dolphins, as well as the other higher-ups, big decision-makers all across the league. They're out in Phoenix for this week's owners' meetings. A lot of business being done with a lot of big names across the NFL congregating in one place, I should say. Mike McDaniel speaking to reporters out there on Monday morning, and he got into a lot of news with the Dolphins' recent moves these past weeks, including acquiring Jalen Ramsey, signing a few free agents, losing a free agent. He got into all of that and more. So I want to spend the first half really diving into that with my three big takeaways from Mike McDaniel at the owners' meeting. I think number one is I think really the biggest news to come out of Mike McDaniel's session with the reporters out there is that there will in fact be a quarterback competition for the backup spots, the backup spot behind Tua Tagovailoa. We all know that Miami signed Mike White from the New York Jets to a 2-year deal, bringing the Pembroke Pines native back home. And he did say, in fact, that Mike White will compete with Skylar Thompson to decide who backs up Tua Tagovailoa. Now, I don't think this is a big surprise, because if you remember back at the combine, Mike McDaniel said he wanted to bring competition to the quarterback room for that backup spot. Obviously, Mike White comes as a more experienced option, having started about 7 games in the past 2 years. But nonetheless, he said he was really excited. Said he reminds him about Matt Schaub. Reminds him of Matt Schaub, who he coached back in his days with the Texans. I want to read the entire quote for you all that may not have seen it. Mike McDaniel said, "I'm really pumped about Mike White. There's a lot of things in his game that kind of reminded me of a player that I'd worked with in the past, that when I left Houston, he was playing at a super high level, Matt Schaub. It's a situation that will be a competition, and I really believe in both players. And I think that benefits the team. I think that benefits the players in general. If you're going into something with the idea to compete, I think ultimately between the two of those guys, the goal is to have competition, produce for the Miami Dolphins, number two quarterback, that can win games with the number one. Since the test of time, competition has only helped competitors and players in terms of development. So really pumped about that opportunity to have him, and really like that room as we have it, as it stands right now." He also spoke about Tua and his offseason, offseason regimen. We all know that he's engaging in jiu-jitsu, judo, to kind of work on the way that he falls, kind of work on the way his body reacts to some of these hits when he's falling down, so we can try to avoid these future head injuries. And he said that he's heard tremendous things about the progress that Tua has made. He said Tua's in a really good spot. So obviously, that's really great news for the Dolphins as it pertains to QB1. We all know that they view him as a QB of the future. They've exercised his fifth-year option. So he's expected to be around for the next 2 years at least. He's under contract for the next 2 years, I should say, as they decide and look at their long-term options with him. But getting back to the backup situation, again, it's going to be a competition between Mike White and Skylar Thompson. We've talked about it before, but I thought the signing of Mike White was an interesting one because I don't think he was necessarily the most sought after, the biggest name backup quarterback available. But, he did come fairly cheap. 2 years, $8 million, about the going rate for a backup quarterback these days. This past season with New York wasn't all that great, but he was playing through a rib injury. Obviously we know about the dysfunction that the Jets had, as well as some other injuries to his supporting cast. So maybe it wasn't the best environment for him, but there is familiarity. I've said that before. He knows the system. It's pretty much the exact same Shanahan style system that a lot of teams, including the Dolphins, are running. So they kind of lessens the learning curve. I'm really interested to see how they kind of go about it, because I'm not sure if we've had a legitimate, QB competition in some time in Miami. And, for the backup position, this is going to be really important, just given Tua's injury history. I think both of these guys are quarterbacks who, they're not necessarily tools guys. They don't have huge arms, maybe not the most accurate guys out there. But I think that I think Skyler and Mike White can run the offense pretty well within, the limits of what they can do in terms of passing the ball. I like Skylar Thompson's upside in terms of, being able to run. I was even saying a lot of times, especially during that season-ending loss to the Bills in the wild card round, I was curious why Skylar Thompson didn't use his legs more. I thought that was something that, he used to to a lot of success in Kansas State, maybe not as much in the NFL. But again, it's a tough spot when you're seventh round rookie. You're not expected to play at all. Injuries kind of throw you into the lineup where you don't have a lot of practice reps. I think year two in the system, we've seen over the years, whether it's the 49ers or the Rams or a lot of other teams that use this type of scheme, this type of offense, we've seen year two is when the offense really, excels. And, I think that could this could be a year where we see a big jump not only from Tua in the offense, but through OTAs, through training camp, a guy like Skylar Thompson, who has year two, and he's probably gonna be splitting those backup reps during the spring and the summer with Mike White. But I think that there's a real opportunity there for him to really improve. He had some good moments. I think he needs to take care of the ball a little more, make some better decisions, which I think is kind of the knock on Mike White at times as well. He doesn't push the ball downfield, but he still turns the ball over a lot. That I think that's really interesting. That this is definitely gonna be an outright competition, and that's something definitely we're gonna be keeping an eye on. With the Dolphins as they start their offseason workout program in a couple of weeks in mid-April. Second thing that stood out to me was Mike McDaniel's comments on the running back situation. That was an interesting move for Miami to re-sign all four running backs that were slated to hit free agency. So we're talking about Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson Jr., Myles Gaskin, as well as Sabon Ahmed. There were some rumblings, some rumors, reports that the Dolphins did look into some bigger name options. There were some starting caliber running backs from other teams that hit free agency, but the Dolphins ultimately decided to sign their group of running backs that they were comfortable with. Signing Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson to 2-year deals, and Sabon Ahmed and Myles Gaskin got 1-year deals. And I think this is the first time we've really, really heard Mike McDaniel come out and say like the running backs are not the problem. I think he made that very clear at the owners' meetings. If I can bring up this quote as well, or kind of give you a portion of it. Mike McDaniel was asked specifically, was there any consideration to make a bigger move at running back, and what do you like about the continuity of the room? And Mike said, if you take a look at the whole class, ultimately we had the opportunity to bring in two of our strongest character contributors and really players we depend on in Raheem and Jeff. They're both above 4.7 yards per carry. And when I look at the tape, I think there'd be a little bit of a different feeling if, and then he says, if we didn't run the ball, not because we didn't run the ball well, we didn't run the ball well in games that we were overly injured, or some games I just didn't call enough runs. And he went on to say, like, if you're getting a running back, and in this case, two running backs who are averaging 4.5 yards per carry, they're doing something really good. And he emphasized that he thinks that Raheem and Jeff specifically are playing the best ball of their careers. And I tend to agree with that. I think that we talked a lot about kind of the value of the running back position. It's a position where you can get a lot of production, but maybe you don't need to invest significant resources. Now, again, the Dolphins were middle of the pack in rushing average this past season. I believe they were tied for 18th at 4.3 yards per carry. But if you really kind of look into that, there were a lot of negative yards. Early in the year, Chase Edmonds didn't really acclimate to the system very well, and they ended up trading him to Denver. But in the second half of the season, I keep on saying this, you had a lot of really strong performances, maybe not all linked together, game by game. But whether it was the Browns game, whether it was the Bills game, when Raheem Mostert really picked up the load by himself. You saw that there was a lot of potential. I think, again, as I said before, I think these guys ran really hard. I think that you can get very, very good production for them in the construct of the offense, an offense that is going to be geared toward getting the ball to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I think they make for really, really good complementary pieces. So, I think this is one of the first times where Mike McDaniel, we've really heard Mike McDaniel come out and say, The problem is not the running backs. We need to run it a little bit more. And again, I think that we'll see that in 2023, where in some situations, especially those short yardage situations, they lean on that running game more. And it's, again, for me, and I'm sure, and I'm not even sure I know because Mike McDaniel has said it. It's not necessarily about like running 40 times a game or running times a game. It's about getting that efficiency and getting that production when you do decide to run. And that kind of brings me to the last takeaway from the owners' meeting and Mike McDaniel's session with some reporters out there, is the offensive line. I know that this is always a big point of contention with Dolphins fans. They always want to upgrade the offense. They want to make sure that the trenches are secured. And to this point, the Dolphins haven't really done that much. They've only signed one outside player, that being Dan Feeney from the New York Jets, versatile interior offensive lineman, but not a bona fide starter. They also re-signed Kendall Lamb, Jerron Christian, but again, no significant moves. We saw some other big name offensive linemen get some significant deals. And Mike McDaniel was again asked about that. I want to bring up his quote again from his time there at the owners' meeting, where he said, what is the plan at offensive line? Mike says, we always have plans. There's opportunity cost for everything. He said, I think one of the things in regards to the offensive line is that, of course, you're always going to want to upgrade every position in this particular circumstance with the offensive line. I do think it's important to upgrade the position for us with talent, but do we want to spend $12 to $20 million to do that? Is that the best way to spend our money? And he goes on to say that in the Dolphins circumstance, they really want to improve internally. They believe that they have some talent, they have guys with potential. So they're definitely looking and trying to survey the market and see what happens there, but they're also confident with the guys that they have internally. And I think that again, that follows a similar core and similar messaging from Chris Greer at the scouting combine in Indianapolis back in February, March, when he said that they do feel they're still very bullish on Liam Eikenberg and Austin Jackson specifically. I think that at this point, those are the only two question marks in the offensive line. Jaron Armstead been healthy, the Pro Bowl caliber left tackle. Connor Williams has shown that he can be a really good center. Robert Hunt, a really good right guard. But those two spots, right tackle and left guard, are still question marks. And it's clear that the Dolphins did survey the market, but when kind of I think the opportunity cost statement was one that stood out because you have the salary cap, you have to weigh where to invest your money. And it was clear that, that big move for Jalen Ramsey was going to be, came up an opportunity arose, arisen, is that the word? Is that what you said? It came about and that became a priority for them. And afterward, they had to look in, how do they want to, effectively use their money. I think that there definitely will be I'll say additions, plural, because right now I don't think that this depth is going to cut it at all. So I think that there definitely will be depth. I think, as I've been saying before, I think Dan Feeney is a guy that could potentially push for left guard. He has experience at center, so is there a possibility of putting him at center and moving Connor Williams to left guard? I don't know. I think that that's definitely something I'll be looking out for when we get to OTAs and training camp. But I think that there definitely will be additions. It's just kind of a matter of surveying the landscape. And one thing I want to note is that, we keep on kind of forgetting in these discussions that the Dolphins have $13.4 million that's coming to them after June 1st. That's coming from the release of Byron Jones, which was given a post June 1 designation. So the money won't be available till then. There's going to be a lot of offensive linemen, a lot of players that get released around that time, especially as we transition into a training camp, a lot of releases, a lot of cuts and whatnot. I think the Dolphins will definitely be active afterward. They're going to use some of that money to bring in a player or two and save that for during the season. But I don't think the Dolphins are done making moves by any means. All right. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back on the other side of things, we got over under totals for the 2023 season already. The Dolphins, they got an interesting number for the amount of wins that Vegas thinks they're going to get. Or I'm going to give my thoughts on that and a little bit more on the other side of things. So stay locked with us. What's going on, everybody? Still here on the Dolphins and That podcast, talking all things Dolphins. Now, in the first half, I gave some thoughts on the owners' meetings, which are taking place this week in Phoenix. I want to kind of look ahead Starting to get kind of into a dead period, so to speak. Got us still a couple of weeks away from the start of off-season workout programs. We're a month away from the NFL draft, but something caught my eye over past couple of days that I was kind of looking into. Want to get my thoughts on Caesars Sportsbooks came out with over under win totals for every team in the NFL. I kind of want to scroll through it, see what Vegas thought about the Dolphins, projections and prospects after some big moves in the offseason. I was kind of a little bit surprised by this. They have the Dolphins over under at 9.5 wins. Obviously, the Dolphins finished 9-8 this past season, reached the playoffs for the first time since 2016, where we all know they bowed out to the Buffalo Bills in the wild card round. Now, 9.5 wins is tied for the fifth highest over under win total in the AFC. Dolphins are tied with the Jaguars, the Jets, and the Chargers for fifth among AFC teams. The rest of the top four, include the Cincinnati Bengals and the Kansas City Chiefs, who are tied for first at 11.5, and the Buffalo Bills at 10.5. So Dolphins tied for fourth there. I thought that was kind of surprising. Again, coming off a 9-win season, one in which Tua didn't play four of those games because of two diagnosed concussions. So 9-8, Tua didn't play four of those games. You add Jalen Ramsey to that defense. You add Vic Fangio, who's reshaping that defense. You expect it to be much improved from its kind of average standing this past season. The AFC, without a doubt, and specifically the AFC East, is no doubt better. We all expect the Jets and the Packers to, at some point, finish this trade or to finalize the trade that would send Aaron Rodgers to New York, which would give the division another top-tier premier quarterback. So I get that. You have the Jaguars, who are up and coming with Trevor Lawrence. They're adding Calvin Ridley, who's back from suspension. Obviously, the Chargers, Justin Herbert, we know that they're capable of. And there's no question about the top three, the Chiefs, the Bengals, and the Bills. We know where they stand. But I just found it kind of interesting, 9.5. I think it's kind of definitely, I think, kind of like hedging, and definitely takes into account the health risk and health concern about Tua. Last year, the Dolphins were at 8.5. So if you're telling me, and again, that over under win total was probably factoring in Tua's availability as well. But I don't know if you're telling me that, if you're telling me that Tua is gonna play at least, let's say 14 games, that so to speak. I mean, he missed four games in 2022. I believe he missed about three or four games in 2021. So if you say he's gonna play 13, 14 games, I really, really do like this team. I think that, in terms of top to bottom talent, I think that they're honestly arguably they're amongst the top teams in the NFL. I mean, this is a Super Bowl caliber roster. When you look at having talent at premier positions, that being wide receiver, cornerback, tackle, safety, if you want to throw that in there. And then obviously the quarterback position, we know and we've seen what Tua can do in a full season in this scheme. I think he's only going to be better in year two. So you give me that, you give me an improved defense, you give me maybe an improved special teams. They bring in Jake Bailey, who's a couple years removed from his All-Pro season. I think Braxton Berrios is going to give a lot as a returner. He could give a lot, give some at on offense, but I think he's really going to add some juice as the first legit returner they've had since Jakeem Grant a couple years ago. So you got an improved off, seemingly hypothetically an improved offense, an improved defense, and even an improved special team. Now, we all know it doesn't always go like that in the NFL, but on paper, you could say that there's reason for all those units being improved. On offense, maybe not so much because of the actual talent that they've added, but more so because of the continuity in year two of that system. If you tell me that all that's going to happen, or you hypothetically think that's going to happen, and you get, I won't say injury luck, but you get Tua starting the overwhelming majority of the regular season. The Dolphins will play a tougher schedule because they finished second in the division as opposed to third the previous year in 2021. So you get a little bit of a tougher schedule, obviously a tougher division with New York, Buffalo being in there, and the rest of the AFC. But I don't know. I think 9.5 is selling this team short. I saw this as a 9-10 win team last year. They definitely exceeded my expectations when Tua was in line on offense. They exceeded my expectations. I think that they're going to be better this year. If Tua stays healthy, I think they're definitely going to be better. I really, really do like the floor and the ceiling of this team. I think that this is definitely a double digit team win. I think it's a playoff caliber team when all things are said and done. But as we've said, several times over the past couple of weeks, past couple of months, really, all season, all last season is the availability of Tua. If he can, he as the case with a lot of teams, if he is in the lineup, he changes the fortunes and the projections of this team. The Dolphins, picked up the 5th-year option. They've stood by him because they believed in him. They saw what he did last year. And I have no questions about that. I mean, if he's on the field, I think he can be an elite type quarterback. I really think he can. I think we've seen it. It's just a matter of staying on the field. But yeah, I mean, I said it, I was talking to some people before. I think that this is a double-digit win team for sure. Barring health, not just Tua, but across the board. You gotta keep the offensive line healthy. Their core guys have to stay healthy. If that happens, I think for sure this is a 10-win team. At least I think this is a team that can definitely contend for the AFC East crown. Again, I think last year will always kind of be one of those what-if seasons. Because we really did see the Dolphins start to hit their stride in October and November, and obviously they kind of stumbled in December. But if Tua doesn't get that second diagnosed concussion and he's not knocked out, I do really wonder what they could have done. Because I think that the offense was clicking, and we know the offense's potential at least. And I think the defense, albeit kind of up and down, I think they were starting to kind of come into their own at times. I mean, I think that they really could have, well, we saw what they did against Buffalo without Tua. So I think that they really could have maybe made some noise if Tua stayed healthy. But, that's in the past. The team's looking forward. I think that they made some really, really strong moves, not just Jalen Ramsey, but adding David Long, adding Deshaun Elliott, who I think that could, if he's not a starting safety, he could be a nice rotational guy, an aggressive big hitter near the line of scrimmage. And then obviously you're hoping that some of these young guys step up in terms of, whether it's Liam Eikenberg or Austin Jackson or whoever the case may be, maybe Channing Tindall steps into a role. They really have a, they have about it all. I mean, I don't see any glaring roster holes on this team outside of that left guard and that right tackle position. If they can get the commensurate play out of those two guys, Liam Eikenberg and Austin Jackson, I think that you really have a you then you have a really, really solid offensive line. And we saw what Tua did behind a so-so offensive line. So just imagine what he can do with a really good offensive line. Imagine what the running game looks like with a really good offensive line. So all that's to say is 9.5 over under wins. I really like the over, especially if Tua can stay healthy. Who knows what happens there? But I'm really, really bullish on this team, even more so than last year. I thought that they were a fringe playoff team last year. I think that they are a definite playoff team this year. I think that if all things goes well, this is definitely a team that can contend for the AFC title. Well, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Dolphins in That podcast. I want to thank you guys as always for tuning in. Reminder as always, subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share, comment. Like I said, things started to kind of die down in the offseason. We're kind of past the first wave of free agency. But again, we're still a couple weeks away from the offseason workout program, a month away from the NFL draft. We're going to have a ton of content on both of those in the coming weeks. So definitely keep your eyes on Miami Herald sports page and more. We'll be back next week to recap another week of Dolphins football. But until then, you guys take care. See ya. Thank you.